The possum thing is really blowed up into something I didn't. Like, every time we do a Facebook Live, somebody's got a new recipe or something that they want us to try, and, you know, it's like...
A lot of intrigue there.
Yeah, like. I mean, everybody was pretty interested in the possum thing, and I'm like, well, so now we have to do it now, but we can't do it till Hampton gets back. He's down in Florida somewhere.
Those are traditions in the great...
Welcome to Ozark Traditions TV Podcast, a place where outdoor topics are discussed. Now sit back as today's host brings you the outdoors inside.
Ozark Traditions in the great outdoors.
All right, guys, welcome back to another Ozark Traditions TV Podcast. That's what I meant by another one. It's just me and Matt tonight, me and Matt Miller. Matt Smith must have been busy or something. I don't know.
Everybody left us.
And Hampton's down in Florida doing his vacation thing, so we're just here holding the fort. So
Unsupervised.
So if things go wild tonight, we apologize already. But in good and better news, it's 115 degrees outside.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be for the next 4 or 5 days, so that's awesome.
Hasn't rained in a year and a half.
Right. Well, we got a couple sprinkles last Saturday. Not very good.
I could hear them sizzling as it hit the concrete.
So here in mid-Missouri, we're about to dry up and blow away. So I'm glad I didn't waste any money on a food plot. I mean, I don't think it'd have done anybody any good to plant one right now.
No.
I mean, the grass is crunchy. It's bad. We're in drought mode now. Like, the ponds are, you know, we've been dabbling, looking for some frogs here lately, and the ponds are even starting to dry up. Like, all the small ponds are dry.
Right.
So it's getting rough out there, but... one day closer to bow season, though, so it's not all bad. Me and Matt went out for a little deer drive last night, not too far from where I hunt at. Well, both of us, really. We're pretty close together anyways, but seen a couple nice bucks. None where I can hunt, but the surrounding areas.
They're in the vicinity.
Yeah, I mean, they're within 3 miles of it anyways. At the farthest, I think, is about, you know, two. Well, really not even that far. I'd say they was all within a mile of some place that I can hunt. But we've seen some pretty nice bucks. They're starting to come on pretty good now, which it's July 20th. So they still got a lot of growing left to do. But,
they're getting there.
It's never too early, I don't guess. I got a couple cameras out running. It's just been so hot, I can't talk myself into going out. Yeah, and I don't have a cell cam.
I haven't done anything. I don't.
Well, I mean, it's just...
I mean, I haven't went out and put any cameras up. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy.
I didn't even bother with disking my food plot and planting it because I'm like, man, it's. If we don't get
I would
rain,
wait. I mean, whatever you plant in there is going to grow pretty quick, anyways.
Right.
Because you know you're not planting beans or corn or nothing like that, so the turnips might take a little longer than usual. But
I'm probably not going to get a bumper turnip crop this year. But
no, but if you know winter wheat and some clover and you know I'd go ahead and plant the turnips because they eat the tops off of them too. So, right. And it worked really good last year for you. So, but that's going to be the topic for us tonight is just some deer hunting. I mean, that's probably what we'll be talking about till, January. I mean, it's just getting closer and closer.
We did do a little bow shooting this week.
That is correct. We're getting ready to film a episode for the YouTube channel called Frog on a Stick. And we're going to go out and bow hunt some frogs, bullfrogs. So hopefully we'll be able to get that maybe done this weekend. It's supposed to be stupid hot. But if we start maybe in the morning or evening or whatever, early. I feel like the mornings would be better. I don't know how the frog hunting is in the mornings. I guess
we're going to find out.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be 105 actual temperature. The heat index is stupid. I mean,
yeah.
So it's just been hot, guys. There ain't been much going on. Been laying at the river a little bit, doing some fishing down there here close to the house, catching, you know, the channel cat, the summertime channel cat bite in the river. If you're like to eat channel cats, which I was telling Matt the other day, the ones out of the river seem a little better than the ones out of the lake. The water's moving more and they're not, because the thing about a channel cat is they got a lot of yellow meat in them, but for whatever reason the ones in the river aren't so bad. But I kept a couple of them. I'm gonna make some fish dip out of them. So my little boy has a problem with throwing stuff back, so I have to keep a couple just to keep him satisfied. And I caught a couple crappie. Megan caught a short walleye down there, but it was an inch short here in Missouri. They got to be 15 inches long. So, where we was at is pretty impressive to catch a walleye up there. I mean, it's a little part of the river. I'm not giving any details if anybody's noticed. I'm just, you know, there's water there, a couple, you know, some rocks on the bank and stuff. But the river's way down. I mean, you can almost see the bottom where she caught that walleye. It was way down. But that's what we've been doing. I mean, fishing a little bit. Like I said, we're getting geared up for this frog hunting deal. I've been gigging a few. I went last week, me and my little boy Drake. We gigged a few there close to the house just to have some frog legs. I didn't film any of it or nothing. It wasn't much.
Wasn't film worthy, you're saying?
Not really. I mean, if I put a whole 2 weeks worth of frog gigging together, I'd have a 15-minute episode, you know. Right. So, but that's what we've been doing, guys. I mean, we've been doing our Facebook lives. Anybody that's listening to this, if you're not haven't liked our Facebook page, Ozark Traditions TV, go on there and like it, and you'll know every other Monday night we do a Facebook live. We always give something away. Last week we gave away a Hodag licking branch deal. You screw it in a tree, it's laying right here. It comes with some scent that they have, the whole nine yards, a couple stickers. So we're gonna give that away. All you got to do is share the Facebook live from our page and you can win it. So if you're listening to this and like to see what we look like, if you don't know, and win something, you know, get on there and talk to us a little bit. We'd love to talk to everybody. We got word the other day, and maybe, which I wish Matt was here so we could talk this over a little more, but in August there's a bow shoot up in, was that Marshfield?
Yeah.
And I don't know the exact dates, guys, but I'm thinking maybe we might end up being there. So if you guys are around here in Missouri close, or I mean, if you feel like driving, it seemed like a pretty cool bow shoot. We didn't actually shoot the shoot, but last year we went and set up and talked to people and stuff. So
I would assume that's what we'll do again this year.
Yeah, I don't see why we wouldn't. So I'll get with Matt and see if we can get all the details knocked out on that and maybe get us a spot up there and set up again this year and talk to everybody and all that. And you know what? Maybe we'll do a podcast up there, like just film one right there at the deal. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Let some people come in and talk and all that. That'd be kind of neat. Or a Facebook live video or something cool. We'll figure out something. We're one day closer to the possum cooking. Yeah. I know everybody's getting excited about that on the Facebook live. I've got my eye on one. He's been hanging around my chicken coop. He ain't been able to get in it yet, but he's been hanging around. And August here in Missouri, there's actually a legal, I mean, to be real honest, we're not too worried about the season thing. I mean, if we found one, we found one. But we do have here in Missouri now, a landowner
predator trapping
season, and it starts in August. So we might just go ahead and wait till then to knock him in the head. And the possum thing is really blowed up into something I didn't. Like, every time we do a Facebook Live, somebody's got a new recipe or something that they want us to try, and, you know, it's like...
A lot of intrigue there.
Yeah, like. I mean, everybody was pretty interested in the possum thing, and I'm like, well, so now we have to do it now, but we can't do it till Hampton gets back. He's down in Florida somewhere fishing. The last time I seen him, he was out fishing, so...
Yeah, he's been gone for like a month.
That's why he's absent on the podcast tonight, so... But anyways, like I said, guys, deer season's rolling in hot. It's hot, and the deer season's going to be here before we know it, and I can't wait, like always. I mean, I could use some cooler temperatures for sure.
Well, for sure, yeah.
But we put in for our managed deer hunt again today. We put in for the Truman State Park one. Probably won't get drawn this year. We've only got one preference points. We've been drawn quite a bit here the past couple years, but we've got our eye on another hunt that we're going to really start to put in for here in the next, you know, after this year. And it's a really hard hunt to get on. I think they only take 15 people. Yeah, 15. What was the name of it? I don't even remember.
Clarence Cannon
Wildlife Refuge Area, which it's in Pike County, Missouri.
Pike County.
Yeah, I said that right. Pike County, Missouri. And, you know, people's probably like, why is he telling everybody? Man, you got to draw for it. Right. I mean, I got just as good a chance as you do, so.
And they only draw 15 people, so.
So, if you guys hear this and you want to put in for it, knock yourself out, but that's it. And I didn't even put in for it this year, and I didn't figure it out till today, and I put in for the Truman State Park one yesterday, so I kind of, I kind of jumped the ball on that, which the Truman State Park one seems pretty cool too. And it's close to here where we're at.
And they draw, I think, 50 people for
50
it.
People. So, I mean, we got a chance of getting drawn, but not real good. We got drawn last year and went to St. Francis State Park, which it was kind of a bust. We talked about that in a podcast back then, back in December. But it was kind of a, just the way they went about it, it just was a weird deal.
It could have been done a little better.
Could have been done better, but so we did that, and we had a good time. We always do. We did the Bennett Springs one the year before that, and it was pretty good. I mean, we killed deer in the Bennett Springs one, but it was just the access and the getting.
And honestly, looking back, how Bennett did it with the units is much safer.
It is. Well, yeah, because when we were in St. Francis, there was people, they were all piled up in one spot, basically, because that's where all the deer were at. And what St. Francis did that I didn't agree with is they gave the deer a sanctuary to get away from us. You know, they want you to come in there and kill these deer, and then they give them a 200-acre plot across the road that we can't hunt. Well, yeah,
no hunting zone.
And it'd been different if there was a bunch of houses and stuff. I get it, but there was nothing. It was literally up against the river down there. I mean,
yeah.
But,
Swing and a miss on their part.
Yeah, like, I mean, it kind of was. I mean, if they really was having a deer problem, like they said they was, which I don't believe it anyways, they tell us there was 20 deer an acre or something like that is
it,
what they...
It was their numbers were way
inflated. Way off. I mean, there was no way that... My wife just texted me, guys, sorry. There was no way that it was, you know, they had that big of a deer problem because we didn't see near that many deer.
No.
You know, we hunted there for 2 days. Me and Matt walked a solid 10.5 miles around this thing and probably seen... I could have counted the deer on both hands. I mean, I probably seen 6 deer.
Yeah.
And half of them was in the group that ran over top of you. I mean, it was just that. It was not good. But, I mean, they were shooting. I mean, there was guys shooting deer, but it just was. Now, it was pretty cool, and we seen some big old buck rubs. I mean, obviously, there's some deer in there.
Oh, yeah.
But just didn't... For a place that's supposed to have a deer problem, like when you hear about this and you're like, oh man, State Park, there's going to be deer. Not really, man. You see all the deer right by the roads and stuff. Well, they don't let you hunt there.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where all the deer are at, and we didn't get to hunt it. But anyways, we're going to move on from that, and we'll see if we get drawn for Truman State Park this year. If we do, that'll be pretty cool. We may try to film it because it is on state park land. Here in Missouri, the MDC thing's kind of weird filming on it. You can, but it's kind of a deal. So we probably won't be, which we don't get to hunt a lot of public land anyways. I mean, me and Matt both hunt. We're fortunate enough to have some pretty nice farms to hunt on. Don't kill a whole lot, but we get to hunt on them.
Yeah.
But our turkey season went good this year. Anybody that was listening to the podcast, you know, back in the spring, the turkey hunting was pretty good for me and Matt this year. We both killed a couple nice birds, got them all on film.
Your boy killed a bird.
Yep. Yeah. It was pretty good. I killed one with my bow. I mean, it was a pretty good year. And I seen a bunch of turkeys today. I drove down past Dan's and there was about 6 Jakes out in the field. I imagine it's the group that we seen. And then me and you seen a group of a hen with about, what, 9 babies, I think, is what we counted down by your place. So,
yeah.
And I've been hearing a lot of positive things.
You know, I've heard both sides of it. Jay Gregory posted a deal today.
Yeah.
Turkeys and terrible hatch or whatever. And I mean, I guess there's some areas that are struggling more than others.
Yeah.
But honestly, like Mike Burks has had a lot of pults on his place, it looks like.
Well, even Michael Waddell down in Georgia, he posted something the other day, had a lot of pults on his farm. So. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it just depends if you're doing something to improve habitat. If you're doing something for the predators, I've got a feeling that your numbers are probably getting better.
Yeah, and the deal with that is if you can't do something to improve the habitat, the least you can do, the predator control is going to help more than the habitat, honestly. Right. I mean, if you're killing coons, possums, that's the main two. I mean, skunks, all that fun stuff. Coyotes are coyotes, guys, but they're not as hard on turkeys as you think. Like, I think the possums and the coons are the main problem.
Well, I think... trap or hunt, whatever you're going
to do. Anything.
Your area.
Yeah.
And obviously, whatever you're killing the most of, that's probably what's having the greatest impact on your turkeys.
I know in our neck of the woods, the raccoons are really bad.
You're right. Just nobody coon hunts anymore.
No.
That's the deal there.
I mean, and they're starting to get bad around my house again. Like, I'm going to have to maybe do something, start doing something. Which, like I said...
Which, come August, you'll be able to legally trap them. And
right. The season starts here in August. It's the first year they've done it. It's like an alternative trapping season. It's pretty neat. And it's obviously the MDC's trying to help the turkeys, because that's what it's for. And some people, which if you're listening to this podcast and you're a tree hugger, you probably should change the channel, but...
I would recommend it.
You're going to shoot these things and throw them in the brush, boys, unless you're going to eat them. I mean, it's summertime, the pelts...
Unless you've got a big possum cookout coming up.
Right. But, I mean, let's be truthfully honest, and we all know better, the pelts aren't going to be worth nothing in the summertime.
No.
It's just... It is what it is, so...
But kind of going back to that stuff, I mean, if you're not doing anything to improve the habitat and you're not doing anything to help with the predators, you know, it seems like, to me, I always assume those are the guys that do the biggest complaining, the ones that aren't doing
right
any of the trapping.
They're complaining about not seeing no turkeys, but they're not going to put forth the effort to try to do anything about it.
Right.
And that's the problem nowadays is you got all these guys that are complaining about no turkeys. And I'm like, well.
Yeah, you've been doing trapping. Well, no, I ain't been doing no trapping. Well, then, man, you ain't doing nothing to help it.
Well, and especially if you're hunting private ground that you can trap all the time anyways. I mean, really?
Right.
You can go to Orsland's, man, and spend $50. Or not even that. Buy you one dog-proof trap, better than nothing. But if you bought $50, three or four dog-proof traps, you can get them on the internet probably cheaper.
Yeah.
Guys.
They're not. I mean, they're what, $16, $17
a
piece?
Well, and you can get them on the internet for like $12, $13.
There you go.
So... A 10-year-old kid can run these things, guys.
I know it. I've seen him do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
I've got a pair of them.
If you can afford to go to the Dollar Tree and buy a bag of marshmallows or anything, Matt uses cat food. You can set these traps and they're successful, and they won't trap other things.
Right.
You know, your main thing you're going to trap in a dog-proof trap is a coon or a possum. You know, every once in a while you'll get a squirrel in there or something, but it happens. I mean, skunk.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you're going to catch what you're after.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it don't take 10 minutes to go do it. Now, well, the thing about trapping, though, is you got to check them daily. I mean, respect to the animal.
It is a little bit of a commitment, but if you're a committed turkey hunter or whatever, you know.
Well, even just a hunter. I mean, if you're just a conservationist, it's going to help. The MDC is not putting a special season in for no reason.
Something to get the balance right in the herd.
And I'm not sitting here preaching like I'm the huge fan of the MDC. I mean, I am. They do a lot of good, but some of the things they do is stupid. I mean, some of their paddlefish regulations are just off the wall stupid.
Well, I mean, you're not going to agree with everything that they do all the time, but, you know, I think for the most part they're trying
to. They do pretty good. I mean, guys, there's a ton of public land to hunt in Missouri. If there's guys out there complaining about having nowhere to hunt, it's because they're lazy. And I mean, they're probably saying, well, this guy gets private land to hunt. You know, I don't want to hear it. Dude, 5 years ago, I had to hunt private or public land. I didn't have that option, and I've hunted it my whole life. And there's a ton of, and it's a big deal nowadays. Like, the whole public land thing's kind of taken off.
It's gotten trendy.
You know, and it's which is good. I mean,
they're making it look sexy there on TV.
And that's what, you know, you got guys that'll go out and shoot a buck on public land. If somebody shot on private land, they'd snub your nose at it. But because he shot it on public land, it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion, if you go out and kill a deer with your bow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And on the other side of that, you got guys shooting them on private ground. Like, oh, yeah, public land deer.
Yeah, you'll have those, so, I mean, too, just to get the attention.
Yeah. So, you know, it's both sides of the equation.
But that's
there.
Just the world we live in now. You know, it's all how many Instagram likes do I get. And
for the gram.
It's for the gram, or now TikTok. I mean, it's pretty much taken off and took over the whole world.
Yeah, you're TikTok famous, aren't you?
I have one video my wife made me do.
I was faking.
Yeah. Yeah, I slowed my heart rate down or something. I don't know. I had some deer horns on my head. If you guys want to look it up, I don't even know what my name is on TikTok. It's like numbers, I think. I don't even think I ever put a name.
DJ.
Just, yeah.
I don't know.
Try that. I don't know. But my wife has more of the TikToks, which she's always got Drakey on there fishing and stuff. He's more TikTok famous than I am. But, you know, that's the world we're in, which it's not all bad, you know, and we've talked about this already. So I feel like we're preaching to the choir here on this. But, it gets brought up every year. We do a podcast and talk about stuff. It seems like we always end up like everybody talking about what's your buck score and all this. And we already know all about that. You know, it's Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, really, who cares anymore? You know, and now it's, oh, you should have, you know, he needs to be 6.5, 7 years old. Buddy, 90% of the people probably listening to this podcast and that hunt don't have time to wait for a 6.5-year-old buck.
Right.
You know, they get to hunt 10 days a year. Some guys, you know, they get to hunt opening weekend or rifle season or something.
Yeah. Or maybe they use that week's vacation, you know, for...
You're looking at all these guys shooting these old deer. They get... That's what they do every day.
Yeah, they're doing it.
They're getting paid to go out there and make it look like they're working real hard to kill these deer. Mm-hmm. And some of them do. But some of them not so much. Some of them...
Right. Well, most of them are hunting with an outfitter. And I'm not...
No, I mean, if I could afford to do it, I would do it too.
I'd kick around the idea.
Yeah. No, we already looked at one.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, we was watching... So me and Matt... We always end up digging out, blowing the dust off of a prime time bucks.
Well, it was after we shot our bows.
Yeah. Which we've talked with Alex on the show here, and he was an awesome guy. We love going back and watching him, you know, back in the hunter specialty days. And
And our good buddy, Eddie Salter.
Yep. Oh, and Eddie. Man, I'll never forget Eddie. He's a awesome guy. We need to get him on. I bet he'd come to our podcast. I need to try to get a hold of him. He's not a real big Instagrammer or nothing, so I feel like you'd actually have to figure out where his phone number is.
You've probably got it.
I probably do. Somewhere. I don't know. If not, I know Alex does.
Yeah.
So, I may message Alex and see if he would just let me see if I could call Eddie, because I feel like Eddie'd come on here and talk to us. He's a great guy. We met him, obviously. Anybody that keeps up with this should know all this. But if we got any new people on here, we met him at the NWTF and got a turkey call from him and stuff. He was an awesome guy. But we watched that primetime bucks, and there was an outfitter in Kansas. And was it Rawhide?
Rawhide Outfitters.
And we ended up looking up hunts and stuff, you know. And I think it was like $5,000 or something for a 6-day.
Yeah, 5 or 6 days, something like that.
Yeah, which, I don't know, maybe one day a guy do it, just say you did it, but. It's a lot of do-re-mi for us poor Missouri boys. I mean,
just old work-a-day guys like us.
But now we're rolling into the deer season now, boys and girls. It's starting to happen. It'll be here before we know it. So we're going to have to start kind of talking some early season stuff. And, you know, we were talking about that the other day. I think it was Craig Morgan shot a buck early.
Yeah.
And
on that prime time.
Yeah. And he said something. You know, everybody says that you can't kill big bucks early season, but I did right here. And me and Matt both looked at each other and like, most of the big giant bucks that I see killed is killed early season or late. I mean, yeah, there's always some hammers killed in November, obviously. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, I would say if you're chasing a big
giant buck.
Yeah, you're looking at that opening week.
Well, look at any Bow Hunter Magazine, North American Whitetail, all that stuff. All these guys are like in Kentucky and Tennessee and stuff where the season opens September 1st and they're killing giants over there.
Yeah.
Because these deer are on a strict feeding pattern.
Yeah.
Which is what they are right now.
That,
I mean.
Yeah, that, you know, they go from their bedding to their food.
Yeah,
source,
they're easy
water,
to figure out then.
Back to bed.
And a deer, those bucks aren't traveling more than half a mile. You know, they're not going that far. So I get excited about the first weekend of bow season where I'm hunting at because it seems like there's always quite a few bucks out there and always have an opportunity early. I mean, a couple of years ago, I missed one with Matt. Nice buck, which I'm glad I missed him because he actually blew up last year, had a drop time. Still didn't ever kill him, but I seen him a lot. But there should be a couple nice bucks out there this year because I didn't kill anything. Megan actually shot the biggest buck on that farm last year.
Now, you haven't ran cameras yet, have you?
I've got them out there right now. I haven't checked them.
Yeah.
And I probably won't for a while. I mean, it's just so hot that, and they're just, I got big cards in them, so I'm probably just going to let them roll into the middle of August or something.
Now, have you got any down in the bottom?
Yeah. I put one down there today, actually, in that back third. After we seen all them deer last night, I went down there today. And there's a fence crossing down there that all them deer always cross at. Big old giant tree out there in this field. This thing, guys, is two guys couldn't put your arms around it. And I somehow weaseled a stand up in it. And I hunted out of it last year. And every buck that come into that field walks within 30 yards of that tree. But by the time I hunted it last year, all the big bucks have lost their horns. I mean, I had opportunities. I could have killed a lot of younger deer, which really nice deer. And I ended up shooting a younger buck with my gun. So I'm not sitting here saying I wouldn't. But it just, you know, I was like, man, it's almost over. You know, just let them go. I just let them go. My target bucks all lost their horns, and I found all their sheds. And I was just done with it. I ate the tag sandwich this year. I didn't even go shoot a doe or nothing. Usually, like that last day, I'll go out there and try to stick a nanny just to fill my tag. But this year, I just...
Did you use mayonnaise or mustard?
What do you mean? My sandwich? I'm not a mustard fan, so I stuck with mayonnaise.
Just mayonnaise. Me too. I just did mayonnaise on mine.
Yeah. But, and that's how it's been with me and Matt. You know, we started this filming thing probably 3 years ago with Matt and Todd when Todd was still on the show. And we haven't killed a big buck since we, like, the year before we started this, me and Matt both killed nice bucks.
With our bows.
And we're like, yep, you know, we talked with Matt Smith and Todd, and they're like, yeah, we'd love to have you guys on. So we went and Matt bought his camera and stuff first.
What suckers. They thought we'd keep killing them, didn't they?
And bought all the equipment, you know, and we thought, man, we got this, you know, this stuff, it's going to be easy. And then... No, I mean, we've killed a lot. We've killed deer and we've killed some turkeys. We've killed a couple bucks, but we haven't killed anything.
We've had a good time. Anyways, I have.
I've had a blast. And it's just a matter of time for somebody kills a big one on here, you know. And so we got that, you know.
I feel like this year's the year.
It almost feels like it should. And the crazy thing is, folks, if one of us will kill a buck, the other one will. Every year.
It just
happens. Like, if Matt shoots one, I'll shoot one the next week. Or if I shoot one, Matt shoots one the next week. It's happened every time.
And, well, even this year with our rifle kills, I think we figured we killed those deer about 10 minutes apart.
Yeah, and I don't even know who shot theirs first. It had to have been really close.
Right.
But I texted Matt because I was like, well, he can come over here and help me. He's like, yeah, I'll help you. I got to load this one first. And I was like, heck yeah, you know.
Yeah.
And they was, you know, Matt's was a little bigger than mine, but they weren't. Nothing to run home about, but they were nice, respectable bucks around here in Missouri. You know, I think mine was a 3.5-year-old, and yours, yeah. I think yours was a 4.5-year-old because you passed him the year before, and he just didn't do much. So the deer Matt shot actually made a little more sense if you're thinking of it in that standpoint, which we don't really. But, you know, the buck I shot probably in a lot of people's eyes and mine too should have had at least another year, but you know what? It worked out good. I got to take, Drakey hunting the rest of the rifle season, which he shot him, he shot a doe in the youth season. We never did see another buck. I can't figure that out. When I go out there by myself, you know, you want to go out there and you're taking a little kid. You're like, man, why can't one of them 100-inch 8-pointers come up here? I see him every time I come out here to hunt.
Or what I love is you got that little 4-pointer or whatever that he'll come down and bed down by you or something.
Yeah, when you're trying to bow hunt. And then you take a kid out there and he's...
We'll bring Junior up here and he can shoot him a little buck, you know, and then you go up there and hunt and it's just doe. It's like, huh, well.
Which Drake had enough of it and he just whacked the nanny, which, cool. I mean, wait till you guys watch that one. You guys will really enjoy it because I thought he missed. I mean, I really thought he missed her and it was getting dark anyways by the time we decided to shoot that doe because we was waiting for a buck, you know. He really wanted to shoot a buck. And that doe come out and he shot and it kind of ran a little bit. And I'm like, well, you missed. It's like, Dad, I didn't miss. Well, we got up there, and she's laying right there in the field. I just didn't see her go down, ground blind hunting, just like his bow deer. It died literally in the middle of the field, and I didn't know it. Me and Matt's over there looking up in the woods for blood and stuff. And
we walked all over.
And we ended up walking back towards the ground blind, and Matt's like, well, there it is right here. It's laying out in the middle of the field, deader than a hammer.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, okay. But, you know, Drake had a good time. He's got his heart set on trying to kill a buck this year. So we'll see, which he had an opportunity last year. He missed one with his bow. The night he shot the doe, he was sleeping, and I had a half-rack buck jump the fence. He could have shot it, but when he woke up, he didn't know where he's at, and he started crying and stuff. It was a mess. But Meg, my wife out of our group, she killed the biggest buck last year. She shot a pretty good 8-pointer, which he'd have been a really nice buck if he broke off one of his beams, and she shot it in the muzzleloader season. And that one, you guys will have to, when you watch that episode, you have to bear with me a little. When she shot, the gun barrel was about 2 inches from my camera. I was not ready for her to shoot, but I guess she was ready to shoot. And the muzzle blast shut my camera off. It knocked my battery loose and just shut the whole camera off. So I didn't, but the GoPro got like her shooting and everything. But as far as the deer, like you see it coming in and then it shuts off. And then when it comes back on, the deer's like going up in the woods. So, you know, but it's, guys, it's, this ain't Hollywood, it's the truth, like old Wilbur used to say all the time.
That's right.
You know, that's what it is, and that's how it went down, and stuff happens like that when you're filming. And, well, if anybody watched my bow hunt, my turkey bow hunt, they come in there perfect. I was getting ready to shoot one, and then they seen me and took off running. Well, it was either shoot the turkey or don't do nothing, you know, and I knew my GoPro was out there. And luckily, I got my shot on the GoPro of me shooting the turkey. It's just, filming is, it's always something, man.
Yeah.
And it's really hard when you're doing it by yourself.
Well, that's like that buck that Ace shot this year. We weren't able to recover it or whatever, but, you know, he brisket shot it. I don't think it was a lethal hit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really hoping that deer sticks around and he gets another shot at him. But
yeah,
I thought he smoked that deer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you got him, buddy. You got him. Great shot, you know?
Yeah.
And then we get down there and I can't find any blood or anything. I'm like, man, what in the world? I just knew he hit it.
Yeah.
Went back, reviewed the film, and you could see it just hit the brisket, you know? Yeah. And that, it's tough, you know? And
that is one nice thing about filming. Well, and Megan last year, we had a buck and she was trying to kill one with her bow. And it come in 10 yards, guys. I mean, this thing was close. And she shot it. And I thought, when I first seen it, I thought she shot between, in front of its shoulder, but in between its shoulder and its neck. And I figured it just buried up in there. And I got Matt and I was like, man, I think she smoked it. And we watched the footage. And when you watch it in just real time, it looks like that's what she did.
Well, we hadn't watched it yet. We went and looked for it.
Right. And we looked for the deer. And we blood trailed this thing for a half a mile, three quarters of a mile. And the blood just finally petered out. I mean, just nothing. We never found the arrow, nothing. And I said, well, let's go back to the house. We'll watch the footage. Maybe tomorrow we'll come back and look for it. Well, we got back to the house and watched the footage. Guys, that arrow reflected, bounced off its shoulder and went down its tenderloin, like just right under the skin through its back. And you could see the broadhead just right under. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it was just, the deer was quartering way too hard. And when I'm filming and it was so close, I didn't realize it. But right when she got ready to shoot, he took a step towards us and looked at us. Well, she, you know, she didn't realize it either.
Right.
And she just shot, you know, because he was close. I mean, he was, like I said, 10 yards. Beautiful eight-pointer, probably 115-inch buck. Not a giant, but beautiful deer, real tall. And we never did find it. And I never found it dead or nothing because I looked for it.
Right. I don't think it was lethal at all.
I mean, if it was, it didn't die. I mean, you hate to say it, but it probably died 3-4 weeks after that, and who knows where, if it died, you know, if that thing got infected, which some things live through crazier stuff than that. I mean, you know, she may kill it this year. I don't know. But, so it happens. It happens to everybody. You got those bad hits, and it happens to bow hunters almost every year, it seems like. Luckily for me, I haven't, knock on wood, I haven't made a bad shot on a buck for a couple of years, or any for a while now, but I haven't really shot at a whole lot of bucks. I mean, the last big buck I shot at was, well, this year, I swung and missed a nice 10-pointer in the late season, hit a branch and whatever. But the one that really stings was the buck that I missed with Matt opening that night last year, the year before last, I guess.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, he ended up growing into a bigger deer. And I chased him all year last year. Me and Matt had him a few times close, but just not close enough. Never seen him during rifle season, but I know he made it because I found his sheds. And I had pictures of him after rifle season. So we'll see. We'll see if he'll make it. But it's just the chase, man. That's what's so fun about it. And the trail cameras are fun. I know a lot of people think that they're stupid and, you know, it just gets your hopes up. But it does give you something to kind of go with or go for. And I've had trail cameras out before and had 100 pictures of deer and get out there and shoot something I've never had a picture of.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't ever know.
I personally, I enjoy going and checking the trail cameras.
Well, I like looking at the deer and I like watching them every year grow and, you know, picking a deer out to try to hunt. That part's fun to me. Like, you find a big buck and then you've kind of set your sights on trying to kill that deer. And I know the trail cameras have killed a lot of big bucks. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Especially nowadays with the cell cameras, I mean, that's been a game changer for a lot of guys hunting the big mature deer because you can, no pressure. You don't have to get in there, scout. You don't have to get in there and check the camera. you can wait till you get pictures of them, then you go in there and hunt. And that's what a lot of guys do. And I know a lot of guys think it's cheating, but Michael Waddell said it best, boys, if it's legal in your state and it helps you kill a deer, by all means, do it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, too. I mean,
you know, if they allowed baiting here in Missouri, I'm not beyond dumping a pile of corn under my tree stand and shooting big buck off of it.
Right.
I mean, they do it in Georgia. All the states around us, boys, Kansas, all them states do it. But in Missouri,
if it's legal and you want to do it,
do it.
Like,
and I don't think anybody should say anything to you about it. Now, if you're out there spotlighting deer and all that crap, cutting horns off of them, that's BS. You know, we're not for that. But like Matt said, if it's legal, go for it, man. Whatever helps you kill a deer. Yeah. It's hard enough to kill a deer with a bow, and it's never too much to have. Every legal action you can take to do that, I think you should do it.
Yeah, go for it.
And, you know, and if you're a recurve hunter and don't believe in compound bows, that's fine. Do it.
Yeah.
Just don't talk bad about guys that do it the other way.
Right.
You know, so it is what it is. And in today's world, like we've said this a million times before, we need all the hunters we can get because there's getting fewer and far between. And if we don't all stick together, then eventually it's just, you know, the liberals are going to get us eventually if we don't stick together.
Right. And yeah, it'll all just go to the wayside then.
Yeah, they're trying like hell to get us all out of it anyways. So, you know, we just got to hope that everybody can come together and stop the whole beating their chest and mine's bigger than yours, you know. It's just, we're all doing this together, help each other out. And for the most part, most people are. But, you know, there are them guys. So, and it's in everything. It's not just hunting. It's fishing. It's, you know, me and Matt have fished a couple bass tournaments with some people. And, you know, you'll have guys out there in $150,000 bass boats. And you'll guys have guys down there in a $500 boat.
Right.
And, you know, them guys are turning, like, don't even want to fish against that guy. Which, right. This is a true story. I mean, this kid almost won this tournament. He would have won it if he'd have kept his fish alive. But unfortunately, all he had to put his fish in was a cooler because he didn't even have a live well in his boat. This is a tournament me and Matt put on, I don't know, a few years ago. And, guys, this kid would have won it. I mean, he'd have won this tournament, bass tournament. And these guys was all having a fit because all his fish was dead and all this. But he cleaned them. He took them home. Yeah. He eat them. And they're all having a fit. And I'm like, well, he's going to go down there and throw them in the lake and let them just rot. Right. I mean, at least he's taking them home and frying them, which, I don't know. It's just, you get into that big bass industry and there's a lot of, and not everybody, I'm not saying.
Not all of them.
But, you know, some of them guys are jerks. And that's just the way it is. You know, we fished a catfish tournament one time and I never met one guy that was.
No, that was a pretty good bunch of guys.
Yeah, they were all good to go. And most of the crappie tournaments are the same way. I mean, you'll have one every once in a while that doesn't believe in something. And it's usually the guys that have no chance of winning a tournament at all.
Right, they're the ones
that are complaining.
They've got the formal protests, seems like.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, well, you're not even close to winning. They're complaining about your scales and they're a pound and a half behind everybody else.
Right.
It's not that far off and we're all using the same one, man. You know, like you was telling me about the All-Star game baseball here.
Yeah.
They said they was juicing the baseball so it'd go out of the park better. Well, everybody played with the same baseball.
Yeah, so who cares?
Right.
Maybe they hit a couple more home runs. Was it more fun to watch?
Yeah.
You know, I know our boys went to their first baseball game, what was it, last week for their birthday. And, you know, luckily they got to go to a game that, I mean, my boys thought that the home runs were awesome.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't care which team hit them.
Yeah, they didn't. You know, what little kids, you want to go to a baseball game, see home runs.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as everybody's doing, playing the same rules.
Who cares?
The guys that are probably going to complain to pitchers, you know.
Right.
And I get it. But, you know, you got all that stuff about cheating and fixing the home run derby. Albert Pujols. Which everybody listening, we're from Missouri, big Cardinals fans. He was in Albert Pujols. He come back to us, bless his heart. I'm not going to lie, I was a hater of him for a while.
For a minute, yeah.
You know, but he come back and he's kind of won me back over. But he was just having a good time out there. And they're saying that they threw it so he could get into the, well, he made it to the second round and got beat.
Right.
I mean, and he, whatever. He hit 13 home runs. It ain't like he went up there and cracked out 20 of them like the other guys were doing. I mean, he just, I don't know. It was fun to watch, though. You could tell he had a really good time. which, you know, this is our sports segment of the podcast. So
yeah, there you go.
We'll have one of those.
Brought to you by no one.
Yeah. We'll have one of those. Football season starts in like 49 days, 50 days, something like that. So we're always excited about that.
Well, the good thing about football season is, well, for one, I like it. And then for two, it's both of my favorite seasons.
Yeah, it's fall, it's so hunting, it's hunting season.
It's hunting season and it's football season.
There's nothing better than being able to watch football and then go hunting. Or go hunting and then watch football.
Yeah, it's just a good time.
It's always a good time. And I don't care who you are, everybody loves football.
Everybody loves the Chiefs.
American football.
Yeah.
Not that soccer stuff.
Yeah, oblong, pigskin.
Yeah, kick it through the thingy up there, you know. But it's coming in hot. I mean, everybody's kind of poo-pooed on the Chiefs. Like, we're not going to do nothing because we lost one player. But what are you going to do? You just got to go out there and prove everybody wrong.
That's right.
So, Kyle Monday, if you're listening, we're going to go ahead and call you like the third biggest Chiefs fan in football. There you go. You know.
Yeah.
We'll let you in the club, man.
Yeah, I think Matt Smith jumped the gun on the number one Chiefs fan.
Yeah. Which maybe we're all in the same club, man. I mean, we could all be, it could be like a three or four guy thing.
Yeah, three-way tie.
So we got that. But hey, last week on the Facebook Live, we had a, I don't want to even say it because I've forgot his name, but I want to get his name right. But we had a guy that become a fan of our show and all that, and he invited us to go to North Dakota ice fishing.
Yeah.
And I've got to figure out, just give me a second, folks.
Stan Potts is in the house. Just give him a second.
Let's see if I can figure out the kid's name. I don't, and I'm not, I can't believe I don't remember his name. We was just talking to him. I'll figure it out. I feel like. Trying not to have a big pause. This is a podcast, so everybody's like, I can't see what's going on. I don't know what's going on.
Hey, we shoot from the hip a lot.
Oh, yeah. Just hang in there. Hang in there with me, folks. I'm trying to figure out.
Pretty much all the time.
This guy's name. Okay, I'm going to just have to get on to the Ozark Traditions TV page here. But, he's invited us to go to North Dakota ice fishing this winter, which cannot, I mean, we're going to have to do that. Can't not do that. And I cannot remember his name.
You know, I would say, how could you not remember his name, but I can't either.
Right. And now, of course, I can't get it to pull up on my phone. I'm sitting here jabbing along. All right, I'll let you figure it out, Matt. Anyways, one of our awesome fans has invited us to come, so we're going to try to get up there and film that this winter. We're going to go back up to Pro Outfitters, which that reminds me, I'm thinking on the next podcast, I'm going to go ahead and have Brad Ganway come on here. We'll talk with him a little bit, guys. If you're interested, and I think they still got dates open, if you're listening to this and you're a waterfowl hunter, or he does deer hunts, too. Deer hunts, turkey hunts, waterfowl.
He does it all, man.
It's Pro Outfitters in Rulo, Nebraska is where the lodge is at, just right above the Missouri line. I mean, the river's right there in the behind the lodge. Awesome. Awesome lodge. Awesome hunting. The snow goose hunts and the duck hunts, it's all in concealed to carry, or conceal and carry, or whatever, the concealed comfort. What's the name of them big old pit blinds?
Concealed comfort.
I think that's what I said conceal and carry. That's
like where you can take your pistol to Walmart.
You know what I meant. Everybody knows what I meant. Anyways, concealed comfort, pit blinds. They're like, which they're putting in a huge one at one of the holes this year. I mean, it's big. It'll hold like 8-9 guys. But all the snow goose hunts are awesome. You know, at least 1,500 decoys. And anybody that knows snow goose hunting, I mean, 1,000 is like the minimum you can get away with.
The guides are pretty good.
The guides are all great. You got Convict, and you got, I'm terrible.
Tic Tac Zach and
Zach, that's his name. But that ain't. I was trying to think of his nickname, and I can't.
What? Which one? Zach.
They had a nickname for him, and now I can't remember what it is. It's got to be good knowing Zach, but Mike and all them guys up there, they're all a bunch of a great, and Brad. I mean, Brad, the guy that owns the place, is just, you guys would love it. He does his whole Russell thing, yeah. And it's great. But like I said, we'll try to get him on the podcast next week. Not next week. We'll be Facebook Live next week. But the one after that, get him on here and let him talk about his lodge and see what he's got left available. I know they had some duck bait.
Not very many.
No, not a whole lot. I mean, it books up quick. We got our snow goose hunt booked for March again, which it's going to be a busy year, just like it was last year. You know, we get back from snow goose hunting, and then me and Matt go right into guiding the paddlefish trips. So, you know, there's no
rest for the wicked.
Right. I mean, it's straight into it, which we're all excited to do it. Matt's got him a new boat ordered. It's going to be a whole different ball game in the paddlefish deal.
They're telling me it's going to be done soon, but I don't know.
Well, that's what we're hoping, so we can get the catfish figured out and maybe do some catfish trips for some people. So, be looking for that. Eventually, we're going to get a page made and all that stuff where we can have you guys, if you wanted to book a trip with us. We're trying to get all our ducks in a row on that.
A lot of ducks.
There's a lot of ducks. So once we get that all figured out, we'll go from there.
All right, are you ready?
I'm ready. Ethan Crane.
How'd you guess it?
I just come to me. I mean, it just come to me right there.
There it is.
So, Ethan, I hope you're listening, bud. We're for sure planning on taking you up on that offer.
Yeah, and I can't believe TJ couldn't remember your name.
I know. I feel that. I knew it was there.
I couldn't remember it either.
And as soon as you figured it, I remembered it.
But that's how it goes.
Anyways, so he's invited us to come up there and do that. I'm excited about going to do that. I've never ice fished before. Matt has. Yeah, but just to go to North Dakota would be
pretty cool.
For me, I mean, that'd be pretty neat. So we're going to plan on doing that. Going to try to film it if it's not too cold. I don't know how the camera, which he said he's got like a shack and all that stuff. So
right,
probably won't be too bad. But a lot of exciting things. I mean, it seems like it's never down season with us.
No, we keep a lot of irons in the fire.
You know, we got the frog thing coming to get us through. And, you know, next thing you know, it'll be dove season.
Well, and we got that Casey Donahue guy was wanting to meet us.
Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah. He's dying to meet me and Matt, so we're going to have to go do that. He's been
hounding us, so we're going to go to his concert. So
we're going to go to his concert Friday. So it's a lot of stuff going on, guys. I mean, it's part of it, but we love it. I wish it wasn't so dang hot because we go out and film a fishing show or something, but geez, man, it's...
Well, I tell you what we could. We go out and film... We just sit in a raft and tell people what, you know, if they was going to try to fish, what the hell to do.
Yeah, what they should do.
You know.
Yeah, or go do some nighttime fishing is about the only, but then you're taking your life in your own hands on Lake the Ozarks. Cause
yeah, better not do that.
They'll run you over out here, folks, and they ride in big boats on these parts. This lake gets pretty wild in the summertime.
Like ocean-going type vessels.
You know, believe it or not, and I know it's only July, but it's summer's kind of already starting to kind of wrap up around. I know summer goes till whenever, but like the busy part of the, you know,
I mean, after the 4th of July,
things kind of start to calm down.
My wife's a school teacher, so obviously I think she goes back to school August 15th.
Right.
So, I mean.
Yeah, it's all, and once the kids go back to school, things kind of go back to normal around here, where a guy can get out and fish a little bit. And I'd say that's what me and Matt will be doing. You know, up till bow season is probably doing some fishing in the new boat and,
yeah,
you know, probably doing some catfishing and figuring that out. And then, you know, seems like when September 10th gets here, we pretty much lock in on deer hunting and
we're booked.
That's what we do. So just like everybody, I mean, you wait all year for it. You know, as soon as it's January 18th, I'm already ready to go again. It's just
right.
The bow hunting thing is just, it's addicting. But there could be worse things to be doing, I can tell you that. All right, guys. Well, we appreciate whoever's still listening to this after all that. If you're still in here, you're a true fan, and we really appreciate it. Be watching for us on the Facebook Live. Hang in there, guys. Deer season's almost here. I say that. It's 2.5 months away, but it's almost here.
And it's the countdown.
It is the countdown. Like, I'm almost thinking about buying my tags here in the next month or so. That's how close it's getting. We always have a good time on here talking. If anybody listening to this has anybody you would like us to try to call to get on the podcast, or if you would like to get on here and talk to us a little bit, we are not picky. We will talk to anybody. We love talking to people, you know, meeting new people. We've met a lot of cool people doing this podcast. So just message us on our Facebook page, Ozark Traditions TV. Just send us a private message on there, and we'll contact you and maybe get you on here on the podcast, talk to you for a little bit about whatever. If there's a, if you have a guide service, if you do anything, I mean, just get on here and talk to us a little bit. We'll try to help you out the best we can. So, but with that being said, I know from me and Matt Miller here, we thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys on the next one.
The Ozark Traditions TV podcast crew would appreciate it if you leave a 5-star rating and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps so you don't miss an episode. And also, be sure to check out our hunting episodes on our YouTube channel, and don't forget to subscribe. While you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and click on the follow and like button to see what the Ozark Traditions TV crew is up to. Ozark Traditions TV would like to thank you for joining in to this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in on our next weekly podcast as we bring the outdoors inside. From all of us at Ozark Traditions TV, we thank you for listening. And remember, if you see us out in God's country, stop us. We'd like to meet you.